As Steve was saying, IFRS 17 will be a significant change for most insurers. And today I'll be providing an update on how the IFRS Foundation is supporting the implementation of that standard. As part of this, as Joanna has said, I will be responding to the feedback that was provided by the Advisory Council members and how that has shaped what we're doing today. I will also provide overall feedback on our current plans, as well as a specific feedback on the Transition Resource Group, which we have established. So I was last year in October in 2016, before the issuance of IFRS 17, and we shared with you what would be the strategy for the implementation support for IFRS 17. At that meeting, members of the Advisory Council said that we should share a detailed implementation plan around the time the standard was issued. And so what we did is we took that on board, and an implementation was shared in a public board meeting in April, just before the standard was issued. At that meeting, the members of the Advisory Council advised us that we should use all the tools in our toolbox to support the implementation of the standard, and I'll show you in the next slides how we've done this and how we've implemented a wide range of activities to do that. Also, at that meeting, the Advisory Council had some words to say about the Transition Resource Group, and again, I'll pick that up later when I talk a little bit more in depth about the Transition Resource Group. So how do we support the implementation of IFRS 17? So these are all the tools that we have in the toolbox, and we're using it to support the implementation of IFRS 17. Firstly, obviously, the standard is issued with accompanying material which will assist the implementation of IFRS 17, the basis for conclusions and illustrative examples. At the same time, we've produced a range of implementations materials which is freely available on our website. Firstly, as at today's date, we have 7 webinars already published on the website. There are 1 or 2 webinars which are specifically targeted to national standard setters and to users. And one of them was a recording of a presentation that Steve did to users in Canada. At the same time, we've produced an effects analysis, which is helpful to understand the costs and benefits and the effects of the standard, as well as a project summary, which summarizes the feedback we received in the last rounds and explains the proposals. We have also produced a video, which Hans introduces IFRS 17, and that is as well available on our website. At the same time, we have, as business as usual, meetings of stakeholders to support the implementation of IFRS 17, presenting at conferences, informal discussions with stakeholders. For example, we are going to offer a half-day workshop at the upcoming conference that we'll be having in Canada, and that's just an example of what we've been doing on that front. On our website, we have a dedicated mechanism for implementation questions. And anyone can submit questions, so I underline that as anyone. And the criteria for questions that we're looking for here are questions that relate obviously to IFRS 17, which try to show how people are reading the words in the standard differently, how people are reading perhaps and getting different conclusions from the words in the standard, and how those would have a material effect and how IFRS 17 would be applied. The submitted questions are really helpful for us to ascertain what support to provide. So as I was saying, we're using all the tools, so we might think a webinar might be necessary. But obviously, some of these questions we would expect to be discussed by the Transition Resource Group, and I'll pick that up again as I have further slides on the Transition Resource Group. Now, the Transition Resource Group is something that's not necessarily something that we do on the issuance of every standard, but we recognize for IFRS 17 that it was appropriate to have a Transition Resource Group. And the Transition Resource Group is a public forum, and I emphasize again the word public forum, that the discussions and the papers of the Transition Resource Group are publicly available and will be on our website. And it's a chance for people to hear how experts in the implementation process are addressing the implementation questions that are coming up and reading the words of the standard. This is consistent with the advice given by the members of the Advisory Council in the October meeting on what the objectives should be, that we should be clear about the objectives and that the objectives is not to issue authoritative guidance, but merely educative in that feature. And again, this is not the last word on the transition resource groups. I have further slides. At the same time, we've been having this investor meeting, so Steve has already alluded to that, so I won't go into that in further details. I just would like to add that we've also issued a publication available on a website to do with the essentials publication to do with busting the jargon of IFRS 17. That's something that you yourselves may be interested in because it's trying to bust the jargon that surrounds the insurance industry and as well understanding how that links to the IFRS 17 requirements. How we intend to do implementation, I think, very much depends on the stages we see entities going through the implementation process itself. So the first row highlights based on what our experience has been on how entities approach the implementation of the standard. Obviously, when the standard is first issued in the first 6 to 9 or 12 months, the industry and the auditors are all just coming to grips with the standard, what are the words saying, and therefore, in this stage, it's basically just general questions that are arising. It might be, you know, thinking about, well, what does the CSM or the contractual service margin mean, and that. We intend to tailor support based on where we think entities will be. So at this stage, we're focusing a lot of our efforts into the webinars and the educational materials in this period. As time goes on, entities then start formulating their implementation plans. The more specific questions come up, the more contentious come up. You know, how do you read the particular words of paragraph X, and what does this mean for our products? And I think in this stage, we think, therefore, the TIG will play a greater role, again, where these implementation questions are discussed in the public, and those in the implementation process can learn from other implementators how to read the words of the standard. When we get closer to 2021, perhaps more in late 2019, 2020, this is when it's really the final stages of implementing. The systems are up and running, the policies have been written, and at this stage, you know, what is best is that entities just get on with it instead of us issuing new guidance or new webinars or new things, because that could be seen as disruptive to the implementation process. So the objective here for the IFRS Foundation would be to provide a period of calm. We'll just monitor what's going on with that. And as part of that process, we would expect the TRG, you know, to have ceased deliberations by then, because entities would just be in the final stages of implementing the standards, and that's what we understand. Now, I want to get into a little bit more about the TRG. Again, I've already talked about the objective of the TRG being an educative forum, and the selection process for the members really is consistent with that objective. We discussed that process of selecting members with the Due Process Oversight Committee in May 2017. And when IFRS 17 was issued, we made a public call for members. And that was open for about approximately 2.5 months. So consistent with the objectives of the TRGs, we were looking for members that have a practical and direct implementation of IFRS 17, that would have expertise in product types across a broad spread of geographical areas, and involved with networks that are supporting information in their jurisdictions or in their particular practitioner groups, and able to communicate effectively and to also consider different perspectives. The members and observers were confirmed in September 2017, and the appendix of this presentation provides the list of the members if you're interested. The final composition of the TRG is 15 members, from 9 from the preparer community and 6 from audit practitioners. We have 3 members with observer status, one from the IOSCO and one from the Prudential Supervisors, the International Association of Insurance Supervisors, and one observer from the International Actuarial Association. 3 ISB board members will be allocated to meetings, and Martin will be the chair, and he's here today and will be answering questions after this. Our first meeting is planned on the 13th of November 2017, and it will just be a teleconferencing focusing on the administrative factors to do with the TRG. We will begin in earnest in 2018 and have planned 4 meetings already. We've planned some flexibility so we can extend the one-day meetings to a bit longer if we need to, if there are issues arising. We will look at scheduling the meetings in early 2019, obviously when when the calendars have been set, which is tends to be later on in 2018. So that's the end of my presentation. If anyone has any questions.
Thank you very much for that, Joanna. And perhaps I might just comment first of all that to me, what Joanna has shown is shown that there is a comprehensive implementation assistance being put together, and as she said a couple of times, using all the items in the toolbox, which is great. But in particular, I think recommend or commendation around the flexibility that clearly is around that plan to enable the response in terms of as different forms of matters might be raised. So I'd first of all like to say congratulations to the team for putting something in place for what is obviously going to be a significant change for a number of, or for all insurers. Now, yes, open to the floor, both to obtain clarification for us in terms of our role in communicating, as we talked about, but also if anyone has any further advice that the staff might want to consider around the implementation. So might start with Gavin.
Just really a plea. This doesn't only affect assurance companies. Banks, including the bank I work for, have significant insurance operations, and this is, you know, both a quite extensive and indeed expensive implementation we're going to go through. So, you know, I look at your TIG members, it's fine, but actually please remember other types of preparers out there who will be significantly impacted by IFRS 17. And in fact, even at my group audit committee a few weeks ago, this was, you know, extensive discussion around IFRS 17, just to give you a sense of it. So.
Yeah, very valid point. Mm-hmm. And that, and Joanna, that is in your considerations?
I think it's
it will be.
It will be. Well, we meet with a wide range, and to be fair, all these some of the preparers have a wide range of activities. Sure, it's more insurance focused, but the auditors as well that we've selected, you know, they would be dealing with clients that are not just solely insurers.
Olav?
Thank you. I just want to maybe make more of a comment than a question, but I think that the European insurance industry appreciates the establishment of the TRG and the efforts that the ISB has made to get a balanced constituent involved in that, and certainly we'll be using that in an appropriate way. I think it's also worth mentioning, of course, in Europe we have an endorsement process, which is also going to, the industry is committed to being very much engaged in order to achieve a successful end to what has been a very long process, but we believe will ultimately be a successful one. Thank you.
Jennifer, sorry.
Thank you, and thank you again for the presentation. I just had a question, or maybe a partly observation, partly question about sort of the period of time that the TRG would be operating. I realize there are, you know, pros and cons, and there's a desire at some point to have sort of stability and not new issues being raised, sort of the period of calm that you were talking about. But I was going to ask whether, is there a thought to maybe reconsidering whether the TRG would continue into 2019, depending on what questions are raised at that point? But just reflecting on the experience we've seen with IFRS 15, questions are still coming up, you know, to the interpretations committee, to individual regulators about how to apply that standard. And so is it realistic to think that, you know, all the questions will be answered sort of by the time frame you've outlined there for IFRS 17?
I think this is based on our experience with the TRGs run for the IFRS 15 and the IFRS 9 implementation period. I think I want to hasten that we don't shut the TRG down in 2019. I think we just don't expect that the TRG would have a lot of activity. So we'll still be probably keeping the TRG alive as we are doing for 15 and 9, but keeping an eye out of any emerging issues, and we will need to consider whether those issues are, you know, there's probably a higher cost threshold then because entities would be in full implementation mode, and then we need to think about that a little bit more in the questions that if the TRG were to answer that period.
So I think what I'm hearing there, Joanna, is yes, it's the flexibility. It's yep. your expectation that it won't be needed, but it's not that it's a formal shutdown date. Yep. Any other questions or comments? Sorry, Alan.
Thank you very much. I think the point that our colleague from the SEC just raised is a good one. That flexibility is important. But I had a question about the working methods of the TRG, in particular in 2018, because I think the I understand that the primary purpose of the TRG is not to come up with suggestions for changes to the standard. But having just received the amendments to IFRS 9 on instruments with negative prepayment features, what I'm keen on avoiding is facing a similar situation sometime during 2020, where we have to scramble at the last minute to endorse an amendment to a standard that is going to apply in a few months' time. So I think it's important that in 2018, the work of the TRG is as intense as possible, so that if there are such potential surprises, and if there is a need to amend the standard, that such needs are identified as early as possible. And in that context, I noticed there are essentially four meetings, as four working meetings foreseen. The teleconference in November this year is presumably going to be a sort of a get-to-know-you kind of teleconference and organizational issues. It's probably not going to go into substance. And four meetings for such a complex and significant standard, for me that raises the question of, is that enough? And then related to question to that is, what is the working method between meetings? Presumably, people aren't just going to go to a meeting and then forget about the whole thing for 2 months or 3 months and then come back to the next meeting. How do you plan to organize the work between meetings for the TRG in particular?
Do you want to cover that response?
Martin.
Can I do?
Martin, apologies.
No, I think we have scheduled these four meetings, but we have also, I think, called for two-day meetings, so it is really 8 days. And I think based on our experience, which we have for in 15 and also with 9 impairment, I think we can deal with a lot of issues in this kind of 4-2-day meeting. So it is not that we will not cover kind of bunch of things. Man, if you think about 2 days and 4 times, that is, I think, you can deal with 80, maybe 90 kind of issues. So I think that is in our planning, okay, based on experience which we had with other THGs. And what is the working in between? Man, it is not, the THG is not working that, okay, the members of the THG bring all the issues. It is okay that everybody can bring issues to the TIG, and the staff is then selecting, preparing papers for that. And if we have prepared papers, we're sending it out to TIG members that can work on that, prepare of that. And I think that is a procedure which we have in this kind of working around, because I think it is a lot of, it should be an open process, and therefore I think this paperwork is also essential. It is not a discussion without fundamental papers on that that others can share, because it is a kind of more educational session for everybody. And I think that is a kind of work, intensive work, which I think is happening in between. And as I said, it is not that the TRG members are the main members bringing issues to the TRG. That is, okay, everybody can issue, bring to the staff these issues, which then are selected and discussed in the TRG. Does that answer your question?
I understand that, and is there? Can you give us an indication of sort of how many staff resources the ISB then is allocating to this work?
We have 3 to 4. Is that right? Yeah.
And Alain, your first comment about, for example, the prepayment issue with IFRS 9—that is exactly the kind of issue, an unexpected thing that had escaped the due process period. In preparation of the standard is exactly the kind of thing that the TRG could also deal with.
Now, I don't think anybody wants to talk, wave at me because I'm missing you. But I think that does finish that session. So to Steve and to Joanna, thank you very much. And we look forward to the ongoing work on implementation of IFRS 17. And again, congratulations to everybody for having got to this stage.